You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is April the 1st, and I pray today that this will be a day where we are not linked in with the theme of the day. Look, God's not interested in practical jokes, and so we're not going to be doing any of those things, but I do know this. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I pray that that would not be a statement that reflects the condition of our heart, where we are not living as if there is no God. And that's not just a philosophy. That's a lifestyle. Live today as if God is watching your every move, because he is literally ordering our every step in righteousness for his namesake. So today we want to say thank you to the folks at Jets Concrete. 321-536-5804. It's a little slower construction wise now for in some places, but if you've got a project that you are looking to have done, Jits Concrete, it's got decades and decades of great experience. They have the expertise that you need, and they have the great work ethic to make your vision a reality and get your project off on a solid footing. And 321-536-5804 is how you could get in touch with them if you are looking at that. I highly recommend, especially when it comes to concrete, if you don't know what you're doing, let somebody else do it, because I remember watching a documentary where somebody provided the wrong tensile strength of concrete. And they were building a bridge, and after they had poured these supporting pillars, they had to go in there and demolish them because they were not built correctly. It's a lot easier to do it right the first time than have to go back and I've heard of some jobs locally where they had to do the same thing, and those weren't jobs that Jets Concrete did. 321-536-5804, if their experience and work ethic and expertise can be of benefit to you. So today we are returning to 1 John chapter 3. We're looking at the identifiable characteristics of what believers and unbelievers look like, so that we can have an adequate reflection of what is going on in our life. Did you know that there are things that go on inside of our lives, that our anatomies, that if you look at it, you know, with just a quick glance from the outside, you would never know that there was something wrong on the inside. And so there's lots of tests and things like that that go on. And so, I want to know the truth of what's going on inside of me. This is not about camouflaging myself to make myself look better to people. It is, what does God know in reality about me, and what can be done so that I reflect his nature better. So if you were with us on Friday, or I mean on Monday, yesterday, that when we were talking about these things, it's not about pointing fingers at other people. It's about examining and saying, okay, are any of these things lurking in my life, and are areas that I need to get rid of so I can make room for what God actually has in store for me. So 1 John 3:13, and we'll read on down to the end of the chapter. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Let's just stop the reading there. We're not going to get any further than that today. And so he says, don't be amazed, don't marvel, don't be surprised, don't be shocked if the world hates you. When there are people with a different value system than the world's approach is to try and eliminate that. Now, I have this to say, and that is this. The devil doesn't really care which lie you believe as long as you believe a lie. But one thing that the devil does hate, and all of the other people that are living under his control and dominion, is the devil hates the truth. He hates people who live the truth. Darkness hates the light. Therefore, he hates people who are living in the light and are making the light of Jesus Christ known. So the world's philosophy is it hates Christ and it hates believers because it's exposing the darkness and it's exposing deception. And so don't be surprised if, as a believer, the world hates you. And I tell people, just because someone doesn't like you, it's not necessarily a reflection on you. It may be a reflection on them. It may be a reflection of their own inadequate belief system and value system. So believers value life not just here on earth, but they value life for eternity. So there's a message that one night I wasn't sleeping too well, and I was up, and all of a sudden I was thinking about the idols of the world, the idols that our modern society has. And those idols, if you don't think that there's spiritual forces behind them, you attack one of those idols and you will find out that people are very attached to their idols. Now, we're not supposed to have any idols. We're supposed to love the Lord our God. He's supposed to be preeminent in our lives. And so We come to expose idolatry, not condone it. So let's look back here. So if the world's not a big fan of yours, don't take that as an insult. Take it as a compliment. And I want to I've got this written down here. If the world loves you, to me that's a warning sign. But I want to tell you this. If the world loves you, you need to understand that its tastes are very, very fickle. They don't endure for very long. they can turn on you very quickly. So you can be a hero today and you can be an anathema the next day, because the world's value system is constantly changing. They're looking to go from lust to even greater lust, depravity to even greater depravity. And so if you ever decide, you know what, that is a step too far for me, the world will turn on you. I just want to tell you this, that the Bible talks about sinners this way. And such were some of you. And so sin is not something that we are sentenced to a life of hopelessness over. The reality is that we were all sinners. We all had our different sins, our different controlling factors in our life. But God never intended for us to stay there. He wants to bring us out. He wants to change us. But when you come out of that sin, understand that there are people who are still in that trap, and they're not going to look favorably upon it. They will talk bad about you. They will attack you. They will launch all sorts of different tactics against you, because they want people to see how horrible you are, because you dare to believe the Bible and the Word of God over their value system. I've had people sever relationships over biblical values, things that I refused to compromise on. And people just said, nope, I'm not for that. And I was like, you don't really have a problem with me at that point in time. You've got a problem with the Word of God. And so do I still have love for them? Absolutely. I'd still, you know, do whatever is necessary. Pray the prayer of faith. I would share the love of Jesus with them, but I'm not changing God's word just so that the world will like me better. That is a bridge too far for me. So what does it say? We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So in this passage, this book of 1 John, we see that believers abide in Christ, the anointed one of God, where unbelievers are abiding, they're remaining in a condition of spiritual death. That's not where God wants you. No matter how luxurious, someone once said that if you were confined to the most luxurious house in the world, if you weren't able to leave it, it's still a prison. Some people's prisons are very ugly. They're very confining. The conditions are not great. The economy is not great. And people would say, ooh, I wouldn't want to live there. And other people live in situations that from the outside look very glamorous, luxurious, opulent, where from the outside, it looks as if they have everything the world could have to offer at their fingertips. And I will tell you that without Jesus, they're still in a prison. And they're abiding there. Okay, it's one thing if you find yourself in a bad situation. It's another thing to make the decision to live there. Can I encourage you? Don't continue to live apart from Christ. Abide in him. Ask him to forgive you, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to set up his house inside of you, and that you're going to abide and remain in him and remain in his word, and you're going to remain in the word of God. You're going to abide in prayer. You're going to abide in Christ. Make your house there. Now, there may be times when the outside doesn't look as nice as the exterior of someplace else, but I can tell you the insides are glorious. We went on a cruise years ago, and it's been a long time since we've gone on a cruise, and we took a tour of this one city, and they said this. Now, you all need to understand that our country, it taxes its residents on their exterior appearance, not on what the insides are like. And so you could have a house that looks absolutely pristine on its exterior and it be a train wreck on the inside, where there's nothing going on at all. And those people would say their society looks at it and says, hey, they can pay more taxes because look at how good everything looks on the outside. In that same nation, this was what the tour guide told us, was you could have a house that is like a palace on the inside, and it might not look like much on the outside. What a picture of what a Christian life could actually look like. The world might look at it and say, there's not much of anything going on. There's not much desirable there. But on the inside, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, oh, y'all don't know what you're talking about. The treasure of heaven lives here. You know, if you don't think that the treasure, the presence of God, it can make a huge difference, I want you to know that when Moses and the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, they held the Ark of the Covenant, the visible sign of the presence of God, which nobody was supposed to look at except for the high priest once a year. And they kept that heavenly treasure in tents made out of sea cow hides. I'm telling you, the appearance on the outside was not much, but what was going on the inside was a dynamic the world had never beheld before. If the world doesn't care much for you, that's okay. Abide in Christ. Don't choose to continue to abide in a place of spiritual death. Don't remain separated from God. Abide in him. And so it goes on and it says here, we know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You see, that's one of the things that is so valuable. The life that we have is eternal. And death, which describes a separation from God, we don't want that to be eternal. Eternity isn't just a long time, it's forever. This span, this segment of eternity that we call time, is where we make eternal decisions. Are we going to say yes to God being our Father and forgiving us and transforming us and restoring us to what He wanted us to be all along? Or are we going to choose to abide in what the world approves of, what the world wants us to be? Unfortunately, that's not the pathway to life eternal. That's the pathway to an eternity separated from God's presence. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. So, verse number 14 says that if we have love for the brethren, we love the brothers and sisters we have in Christ, that's how we know that we've passed from death to life. It's the evidence. It's what causes us to know. Now, in verse number 16, it says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. Christ going to the cross, you know, we're getting close to Resurrection Sunday. Christ going to the cross and laying down His life for us, that's what caused us to know the love of God. So I don't remember what year the Passion of the Christ came out. But I can tell you that was a controversial movie. Okay? Not too many that's probably one of the best performing movies with subtitles in America that has ever been. I don't know if it is, but, you know, it's a very graphic movie. And in spite of all of its graphic imagery, it's still not as graphic as what the actual crucifixion of Jesus was. When that movie came out, I remember that there was a country that people really liked to visit. There was an elected official, and he screened the movie, and he said, I don't see love anywhere in that movie. And he had missed the point entirely. The price tag of God's manifesting and revealing His love for humanity cost Jesus His life. I know we like to be rah-rah and hoorah and all of that sort of stuff, but it's very sobering when you realize the price of love. In our modern society, we don't think of love as being, you know, that costly, because we treat our relationships in a rather disposable manner. Jesus comes and shows us that the real character of believers reveals that love will cost you everything. It does. And here's the great thing about it. As believers, just like Jesus, we don't regret the price tag. We embrace the price tag for the joy that's on the other side of that transaction. Jesus looked at the cross and said, there is the joy of reconciliation on the cross, on the other side of the cross. Believers look at loving one another and saying, you know what? It will be worth it all to love someone that Jesus commands me to love. It is worth it. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, it says in verse number 16. Verse number 17 says this, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So believers abide in an active love that comes from God. So the love of God should abide in us. It shouldn't be something that we just experience on occasion. Love is not an emotion. Love is not just a decision. Love is a lifestyle. It's not a passive lifestyle. It is an active lifestyle. Where unbelievers do not abide in love. They abide in a, if they do have love, it's lip service. It's not active. So there are different ways of handling finances. And if you and I are wanting to exhibit the love of God and we have resources, we see somebody in need, we don't wait to be taxed to meet that need. We say, how can we meet that need as quickly as possible? Sometimes that may be through an action on our part. Sometimes it may be empowering a ministry. In the Assemblies of God, we have a ministry called Convoy of Hope. We have lots of different ministries. We have orphanages and nursing homes and things like that where we say, how do we minister to this? And so foster care is something that is very big. And we mobilize resources to get it to people who can actually be boots on the ground. Missions is very big in the Assemblies of God. And so we are very active in demonstrating our love, both through our actions and through our giving. There are other people who say, oh no, we don't want to give anything from ourselves. We want to compel taxing from others, and then we will decide how to love from that. Friend of mine, he heard this saying a long time ago, and he shares it, and it's been a statement that has stuck with me for many years, and it's this: where there is much love, there's little law. And where there's much law, there's little love. So I would ask us all to take a look in the mirror so that we don't fool ourselves today and say, am I actively loving those that God has called me to love? Because I don't want to deceive myself. I want it to be known by everybody, or to everybody, that the love of God is abiding in Bob, that it's abiding in Merit Assembly, and I pray that the love of God will be abiding in you. How do we know? If we have the ability to meet a need, we meet it. If we have the ability to not meet a need and don't, then we're fooling ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves today. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or